It is said that initiation is the time when Krishna formally accepts us as his. So, of course, we have already accepted Krishna as ours. But did he accept us also as his? In a sense, yes, but then initiation is where we make a full commitment, where we give ourselves to Krishna for this life, and that the first priority in our life becomes devotional service to Krishna, and all other things we will do in relation to Krishna. So, of course, all of you have already been devotees for a long time, some almost forever. No, for a very long time. But still, it is a change. It's not like just a light thing. It intensifies our commitment to Krishna. It says that this initiation is producing many wonderful fruits. As we are taking a step towards Krishna, Krishna takes steps towards us. Ultimately, the aim of this initiation is to go back to Godhead and back to the spiritual world, and also to develop our love of God, prema pumartamaha. The initiation is there are many blessings involved. There are we are chanting all these mantras in the yajna, and that means that each deity that we invoke, their blessings will be available. So that means the direct blessings of Krishna, blessings of Srimati Radharani, blessings of all the acharyas, and it's all that which makes it successful. Although I am the one sitting here like the representative, I'm here as the representative of the entire parampara. And whatever is spoken to me, promised to me, it's promised to the entire parampara. Whatever blessings come through me, all the blessings of all the acharyas come through me. So Prabhupada's blessings, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's blessings, Guru Vishwadas Babaji's blessings, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's blessings, Srila Jagannathas Babaji's blessings, Baladev Vijayabhusa's blessings, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's blessings, then Narottamdas Thakur's blessings, Krishnadas Kaviraj's blessings, and then the blessings of the six Goswamis and the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so on. All these blessings are present at this time. All the Vaishnavas who are here are also offering their blessings. That is the only way that one can take initiation, because otherwise, how can we take such a vow to follow such high standards for a lifetime? We don't know what our life will bring. We have no idea. We can only make such promises on the strength of blessings, on the strength of the Vaishnavas. That's not just a one-time thing, that's an ongoing thing. So taking shelter of all these personalities. Of course, initiation is a Latin word, and in the Latin word literally means to begin, the beginning. And It is a beginning of a change, of a new life. It is also a beginning of getting to know Krishna and his entourage, his abode, his eternal associate, all the various aspects in which Krishna manifests himself to deepen our relationship with all these things, to deepen our relationship with the Holy Dham, to somehow or other, to deepen our relationship with the Holy Dham, to deepen our relationship with the Holy Name, to deepen our relationship with Srimad Bhagavatam. That's good. Yeah. Okay. To deepen our relationship with the Vaishnavas, to deepen our relationship with the deities. All these different relationships will develop over time. There's so much to learn, really. And at different points in time, one may have a different interest. For example, someone may say, well, so far, I have not yet read the Bhagavatam. I've read so many other books, but I've not yet read the Bhagavatam. And then, so, yeah, start the Bhagavatam. And then after a while of reading the Bhagavatam, say, yeah, actually, I didn't read so much about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then read all these things. Read about the Acharyas, get to know them. We go to Mayapur, we go to the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and we spend time there. We are actually reading there. Let's say we bring with us the Kalyana Kalpataru, the auspicious desire tree, which he has written. And we read the text while we are there in the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And we enter into this description, which says that somehow or other, my spiritual master gave me this auspicious desire tree of devotional service. But due to my harsh mind, I didn't look after very nicely. Therefore, the tree has become a little dry. But the Vaishnavas, they are the caretakers of the tree of devotional service. So because the Vaishnavas are the caretakers of this tree of devotional service, therefore in their association this tree gets new life. So in this way, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is speaking about the great gift of transcendental mercy, and how we receive this gift from the spiritual master. This gift makes us appreciate, right, that we have a wonderful opportunity. But our mind, our senses are just distracting, and somehow or other the opportunity is not fully blossoming. But again, by turning to the Vaishnavas, it gets revitalized, and again
we start.
So we could read this text while we are visiting the house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then we could sing Yaso Matinamana Rajabarana Bara Kokulanjana Kana. And just as we are there in the house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we feel our relationship with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is growing. So many places are there to visit where the Acharyas have been. So much to read about all of them. And all these things are necessary. We need to know. We need to get to know. We need to somehow or other deepen our relationships with all these personalities. Today, they may be here in the form of mantras, but behind are the mantras are the personalities in their lives, which are a great source of inspiration. Just as we see Sanatan Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says Sanatan Goswami received the instructions from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in great detail how to perform devotional service. Basically, from Sraddha to praying, the whole process Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, and how to be a devotee. And then in the end, Sanatan Goswami prays, and he says, I pray that these instructions may be manifest to me. So that is very nice, that they may actually bear fruit, and that they may change our life. So initiation is this moment where we are deepening our acquaintance, our connection with all these aspects in which Krishna is manifesting himself. And then we pray, may all these things be manifest in me. That is a very nice prayer on this day. One time, I was giving initiations in Mayapur, and I asked the candidates, after they were initiated, to ask for blessings, and we met Janani Vas in Mayapur. So I said, you should ask Janani Vas for blessings. And then Janani Vas said that, he said, initiation is a very good time. He says, because it's a time when you're serious. So at this time, you can really put in place some very good things. You can think about it seriously and put some proper principles in behavior. And in this way, you can receive many blessings. He said, of course, I didn't do that in my spiritual life, but I heard about it. He said like that. But it is true that this is a time that we are serious. This is a time that we are trying to go forward. And now there's a spirit of surrender. Then later, so many things may happen and so on. And as I say, then the Kalyana Kalpataru, that auspicious desire tree, may become dry. But okay, we know that the association of devotees is essential. And like the Holy Dham, if I am here doing this service that somehow or other was given to me by my spiritual master. One very important reason is that I spend time in the Holy Dham. That is something that made such a huge difference in my spiritual life. It's not like a luxury, you know, only sometimes we go to Vrindavan. No, we have to go. Of course, the baby has to grow up first. A little bigger baby, and then Vrindavan. That's the plan. There it is. The screen is not working anymore. Is there a reason? No, that's good. The big one.
Maybe disconnection.
Well, if somebody knows how to connect it, then we should connect it. Should be connected. Oh, now it's gone. Drop the... No problem. No, it's okay. Technology is such a thing. It's... But everything is also live streamed on Facebook, so So you'll find it there. And it stays there for a while, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can get it there. It's on Mayapur TV. It's recorded down here. We'll give you the recording to take. So it'll all work. The main purpose is today to somehow or other make a very sincere commitment. Well, sometimes, well, I remember when I was taking sannyas and I was sitting in the yajna, it really just, it started to come at me, you know, like I started, even before the fire was lit, I was already sweating. Yeah, and it's like, I started to think, why am I doing this? I'm not so old yet. Why do I always have to make my life difficult? But anyway, I did it. And, but in the same way, somehow or other, you step down in this yajna, right? And whatever brought you to this point, now it is serious. Now is the time to make that wholehearted commitment to this. Whatever was not wholehearted yet before, now for a moment we should reflect and say, yes, I'll give it my everything. I'll give it my very best. I'll really make this initiation to be a milestone in my life. One time I was in Sydney and I was sitting in a car at the side of the park, at the side of the road, and it was summer and there were different terraces and people were all sitting outside drinking different things, whatever. And suddenly one man gets up. He sees me in the car. He walks over to the car and he says, oh, I am also initiated. He says, I'm also initiated. Okay. Very nice, but we've never seen you for all these years. I don't know. It didn't look like he was doing much. So what's the point when one's initiated but one is not really doing much? Initiation means that now one has to, after one has to do something. Like Prabhupada said, you are American, as he was in America. He said, it's like the most important country in the world. Prabhupada said, but it's not enough to be American. Now you have to do something American. In this way. It's like, first you glorify them for being the most powerful, the biggest country in the world. And now you have to do something in America. Now you have to do something big. No, that was Prabhupada. So, in this way, we are very happy that this time has come. I know what I'm saying is not new. You have thought about it already. It's my duty to give some reminder, you know, just in case. There are the 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy name. And if they are not, if we're not careful about them, then it can really hold up our progress. So therefore, we must pay attention to these 10 offenses. They are mentioned in the Padma Purana. And I'll say it very quickly. First one is to blaspheme devotees, dedicate their lives to preaching the glories of the holy name. So somehow or other, you must be careful about relationship with devotees. They're not ordinary people. Everybody, every single devotee must be treated with respect. And why just devotees? Everyone must be treated with respect, but especially devotees. Consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma to be equally independent to the name of Lord Vishnu. One can get great benedictions from the demigods, but one cannot get eternity. One can only get eternal benefit by turning to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then we can be liberated from material existence. And if you turn to Krishna, more than liberation, we can attain love of God. So that is our aim. The third is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. It's something... the spiritual master is remaining in our life. It should be seen he is the representative of Krishna. It should be seen as the representative of the Sampradaya, of the scriptures. He's the external manifestation of the Supersoul. He is the he is also the captain of the boat of transcendental knowledge, the Jnana Plavena. So he gives us also instructions as a captain. He guides us along. And then Srila Prabhupada would say, write letters, my dear spiritual sons and daughters. So he's like a well-wishing parent. He's experienced on the path that he's helping us along the way. Where we go now, he has already been before. So in this way, he can guide us. And Sudrida Suridam, there must be firm friendship. So there's three aspects to the relationship: the representative, the instructor, and the personal relationship, the intimate relationship. So as far as that intimate relationship, Sudrida Suridam, firm friendship, it means there must be trust. We have to somehow or other develop a level of trust. That one should trust the spiritual master is my ever well-wisher. Ever means in all circumstances, no matter what happens, no matter even when it goes wrong, still my well-wisher, always my well-wisher, and therefore I should seek his shelter. One should not have an artificial relationship with the spiritual master and smile whenever he comes to stay out of trouble, so that he doesn't give any instruction, or because an instruction may be something that's that may be uncomfortable sometimes. So better than revealing our mind, we may just smile. How are you? Oh, yes, very nice, very nice. Yes, thank you. So that is very convenient, but it's not easy to involve the spiritual master in our private life, because we are afraid of what instructions may come. We are not used to involve anyone in our private life. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Hridaya Kandare Vosachinamina, which describes the innermost chambers of the heart, and I like this. And I use this more often, this example, because I lived a long time in India, and I really know what an Indian house, a traditional Indian house is made. And a traditional Indian house has a courtyard in the middle, and the inner quarters around the courtyard are the private quarters. Next to the door are the public quarters, and if someone comes to the house, they first put him into the public quarters, and then the host comes and meets with the person there, right? And meanwhile, the family is still in the private quarters, like that. So that's a traditional system in an Indian house. It's quite nice. And so the heart is also like that. We have the outer chambers, which are the public chambers, which we share with everyone. And then we have the inner chambers, which we are hiding, a very private one. And then the innermost chamber, nobody knows, not even your wife or your husband. Those things are the hidden, the very private things that you wouldn't tell anyone. It's a... there, in that chamber, Krishna must be there. So that means we have to really put our trust in Krishna. We have to be genuine. We have to be real in spiritual life. We cannot act out a role. And the temptation is to play a role, and to play a role of, you know, great devotee. But actually, it's who we really are that counts. The more we are having that honesty and openness, the more we can actually take advantage of good advice. If you say, well, actually, I find this difficult. All right, maybe we get an answer that, a realized answer that will actually support us. So we must see, we must not be afraid of the spiritual master. That takes some time, because the first relationship with the spiritual master is one of fear, especially after the initiation, because then he has absolute power. More power than anyone ever had, more power than your boss, even more power than your wife, because she's your equal, right? More power than your father ever had. He has absolute power. It's so, therefore, the first relationship is based on fear. Then after a while you realize, well, he's not so bad. So then friendship develops. Friendship. And then we see in the final days of Srila Prabhupada, we see how these devotees are there with Srila Prabhupada, and how Prabhupada and how they get divided. Prabhupada has expressed the desire to go around Govardhan, but he's so ill, how can he go? Lokanath Maharaj has a bullock cart. Prabhupada said, make it ready, I will go on the bullock cart. The devotees are thinking, how can he go on the bullock cart? But Lokanath Maharaj got the order. He's got to take Prabhupada on the bullock cart. And Prabhupada is transcendental anyway. So if he wants to do it, he can do it. So he makes the bullock cart ready. Then others like Bhavananda, Kirtananda, Brahmananda, they go like, no, how can he go on the bullock cart? And they decide, we're going to tell Prabhupada, but they're afraid. They can't do it. So they're all sitting there quiet. So Prabhupada says, you want to tell me something? And finally, Brahmananda says, Prabhupada, please don't go. Prabhupada says, oh, you don't want me to go? He said, no, we don't. Prabhupada said, okay, I will not go. And then Brahmananda says, Prabhupada, you're driving us mad with love. Prabhupada said, that is my duty. So in this way, we see how this relationship develops, like from fear to friendship to love. It should develop like that. It's not so easy. And then to go beyond formality. Yes. So one must open the heart to the spiritual master. Fourth offense, blaspheme the Vedic literature, literature and pursuers of the Vedic version. So there are many Vedic literatures. Some are even Traigunya, like astrology, the Jyotish Shastra. It's in the three modes of material nature. It deals with the body, not with the soul, the destiny of the mind and the body. But still it must be respected. One should respect all this Vedic literature because it's part of a greater body of knowledge. What to speak of the transcendental scripture that teach about devotional service? One should always respect those scriptures. They are our saving grace. They are worshipable. A house where Srimad Bhagavatam is present, that house has become a temple. It is permanently transformed. I had one disciple. His father had a big bookshelf, and as a child, he saw on the top shelf, he saw this yellow book, and it was shining. This yellow shining book. But it was on the top, so it was just there, and as a child you accept whatever. 20 years later, one day he climbed to the top and took it down, and there was one of Prabhupada's books. And he read it and he became a devotee. Yeah. And it was waiting for him for 20 years, and all this effulgence was there all along. He always saw it as a kid, this effulgence from this book. The whole book transforms the house. Mm. What to speak, if we read it, it will even transform us. Anyway, little sarcasm also. So the fifth offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. One should have the full confidence that by this chanting of Hare Krishna, everything will be attained, all perfection will be attained. It doesn't require anything more. It's that, that's all that's needed. My spiritual master always emphasizes that Srila Prabhupada personally told him that attentive chanting means to hear oneself chanting. So he always repeats this. One should somehow or other hear oneself chanting. That is the key of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. To hear. It's the ear that's the most important. One wouldn't think so. If you'd ask what is the most important in chanting, probably you'd say the tongue. But no, the ear. Because one must hear himself chanting. Sixth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name. The holy name is simply Krishna, the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead. We don't have to try and draw out all kinds of complex meanings. It's very simple. Very, very simple. No need for all kinds of interpretations. Seventh offense, commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Yes, one cannot think that one can do all kinds of sinful activity and then counteract it with devotional service. No. Then there will be reactions. And what will happen is Krishna will withdraw himself. Then, although the name is Krishna, but Krishna can withdraw himself and leave only an empty shell. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explains, when we commit that seventh offense against the holy name, then all that Krishna leaves us is a shell. Not the name anymore, just an empty outer form. And Krishna himself then is not there. And we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's not working. So one has to be serious and say, no, I give up sinful activities. I somehow or other am going to do this. And there will be times that it will be difficult because old habits will re-emerge and will push. Vajavegam, Amsakrodavegam, Jivavegam, Utrapastavegam, Etam, Vesanivisaheta, Diram, Salamapim, Pitivim, Sasisha. The senses will push. What can we do? We have to tolerate. Eighth offense, to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as a Karmakanda ritual. So a Karmakanda ritual is a ritual that improves the material conditions. Now I surrender to Krishna. I'm chanting, I'm doing all these things. And then, you know, how can this happen? How can difficulties like this come into our life? How is it that on the day of initiation, you cannot come across the border? And that you're forced to stay home? How is this? Is Krishna against the initiation? That he doesn't let you come? No. It is not like that. It is just that the material world is perplexing, is always creating difficulties in the three modes of material nature. And it's just that even if difficulties come, we just remain fixed. If we can't do it in person, we do it with a computer, although it's not the same. But spiritually, it is the same. The initiation is the same. Fully accept it, whether one is here or whether one is there, doesn't matter. Same vows and the same benefit. So we should not think that now that I'm a devotee, now everything has to become easy. Now Krishna will cooperate with me and make it all easy. No. That's Karmakanda. I do this Karmakanda ritual, now everything becomes easy. No. The benefit devotional service is eternal, more devotional service. And the benefit of that is still more devotional service, ever increasing devotional service, with that, ever increasing happiness and ever increasing love, but not material benefit. Ninth offense, preach to the faithless. Yeah, we can preach to faithless people and say, chant Hare Krishna. And we can say, give up meat, fish, eggs, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. We can say, the Bhagavad Gita explains, you're not this body. You're eternal spirit soul. You are the eternal servant of Krishna. If we want to summarize the Bhagavad Gita, then basically that's the message. We are eternal spirit soul. We are eternal servant of Krishna. And in this way, we can attain perfection of life. So those things we can tell to anybody. But we will not tell about Vrindavan. We will not tell about Krishna and the gopis and these pastimes. Those are private. Tenth offense is to maintain material attachments, even after receiving so many instructions in the subject matter. I compare this sometimes to having a pet. You know, you have a pet and you're feeding the pet. And if you keep on feeding your pet, your pet is going to be very strong. So this is maintaining material attachments. It means to invest in these material attachments. It is not about having material attachments. We have material attachments. That's okay. But we should not invest. That is to say, in the sinful ones. There are material attachments that are allowed, that are like household life, family life, having a home, having a vehicle, whatever. All these things are fine. It's allowed. These things are not going to block our return back to Godhead. But now, but then there are the sinful desires. Those have to go. If we invest in them, then the attachment will become stronger and stronger and stronger. And it will be difficult to get the result of this chapter. Finally, sometimes known as the 11th offense, is inattentive chanting, the root cause of all the other offenses. Inattentive chanting, as I said, hearing is the essence. So those are the 10 offenses, and with that, I try to sort of give you some meditation with this lecture. I try to invoke the blessings of all the acharyas. You will make your vows, and my prayer is with you today. I will pray, not once, but as an ongoing prayer. Today, I pray that Krishna will accept you, even if your service may not be perfect, but that he may overlook the shortcomings, and that he may somehow or other take you back to Godhead this lifetime. And you just never know how these things go. Recently, well, in April we had, of course, our King's Day festival and all these things, and then after that I really took some rest in Radhadesh for some time, and I was staying there and writing, and then one day my disciple Bhagavati, an older lady, she came and she said, there is this older lady who has cancer, terminal cancer, and she has been doing service with Food for Life, and she has also been involved in cleaning in Radhadesh and such things in the past. And now she wants to spend her final days in Radhadesh and then, you know, prepare to leave the planet. Would you be willing to initiate her? So I said, okay, yeah, I mean, of course, you know. And so we arranged it, and I gave her initiation 3 months ago when she had cancer. And she left her body a few days ago, right? And it was kind of special because, yeah, she, although she had done devotional service, although she was following standards, still, it was the first time that she really was like connecting closely to a temple, and she's almost 80 years old, and becoming like, but she was very determined that this is what she wanted. And she cut with her family and just moved to the temple, and that was it. And she was going to be a devotee, and that was it. And she was quite fixed up about it, and she didn't care what people say. And they, you know, which you can imagine, if you've lived 80 years out there, there's a lot of connections you've made, a lot of family members, a lot of friends, a lot of neighbors, a lot of people, and they all came, but she was Hare Krishna. Right. And then somehow or other, by Krishna's grace, I happened to be there. Lately I was coming and going a bit from Radhadesh, but we just came back, and then we did a kirtan, and then the next morning they came to my door and said she's not doing well. Anyway, so we went there the next day and did kirtan again, and then during that kirtan, in the middle of the kirtan, her eyes became, see, her eyes were closed, and suddenly opened the eyes, chanted Hare Krishna, and then left. And they said, like, wow, you know. And when something like that happens, you know, then you start to look back, you know, what was it? And you look back, wow, such a departure. Right? And look back, what did she do actually? What connections did she make? And undoubtedly, she did things. Undoubtedly, she made connections. I mean, on Food for Life, she was eager to give the mercy to everyone. She told me she liked Nityananda. Yeah? So she had that spirit, undoubtedly. But then, you know, it all came together. She had that determination, and then there was the mercy of the devotees, a lot of mercy, devotees who were spending time with her. And then there was the mercy of Krishna, somehow or other. I was able to be there and chant the kirtan, and everything went so auspicious. But I would say she wasn't like a super devotee. She wasn't like, you know, she was in a way like all of us, right? You know, a devotee, right? Or trying to be a devotee. She was trying to be a devotee, like all of us, right? And it intensified at the end of her life somehow or other, and then produced such results. So I thought it was such an amazing story, because it is a success story of someone who was a devotee, right? But what she did, we can do also. It can be done. So my prayer is that these initiations will produce such results that we can very auspiciously go back to Godhead at the end of this life. And then you have to bring your whole families with you, all of them. Whoever goes first of the family has to take the rest. That's the deal. Doesn't matter. And then your parents have to go as well, whether they want or not. They have to go. Sorry. Because 7 generations before and 7 generations after. So your children, I mean, there may not even be 7 generations after. Yeah. Whatever. But all back to God. So this movement is such a powerful movement. It is just such a blessing that we are so lucky that we're part of this. So somehow or other, let us always stay favorable to this movement, to this movement of Srila Prabhupada. Even if there are some people in the movement who may not be nice to us sometimes, who maybe will not treat us, let us never become bitter. Bitterness, there's no place in a Vaishnava heart for bitterness. That cannot be there. No matter what they do, let it never make us bitter. Let we always, always appreciate this movement, because it's the most wonderful movement, the movement of Lord Chaitanya. It's just amazing how powerful it is. Okay, enough said. Now it's time for action. So first, Bhakti.